Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Hello and blessings to all. Welcome to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation with our host, Bob Ginsberg. I'm Fran Ginsberg, and our show tonight is sponsored by Starseed Gems, and they can be found on the web at www.starseedgems.com. Our guest tonight is Dr. Stafford Betty, and if you have a question, comment, or would like to talk to our guest, the toll-free number here is 888-627-6008. So, Bob, what's exciting and new, and do you have anything you want to share or chat about?
Well, the heat wave continues, and from everything I've read, this is the warmest temperature by world average.
It's been that way since June. It truly is global warming now, because they're saying that the average temperature all over the globe has exceeded what it has in previous years, or at least since they've been keeping records, which I believe was in the early 1800s.
Well, we're just back from our afterlife exploration retreat, and I'd like to thank all of the attendees who joined us, as well as all of our great presenters. And a very meaningful weekend. A lot of people learned a lot, shared a lot, and that's the whole purpose. So.
Right, and I think when you create that atmosphere of a small group of people who are on a journey seeking stuff, and you have these wonderful facilitators like we had, it just made for such a fabulous, fabulous weekend. And we had people traveling from all over to go to it. So that also, you know, there were a lot of special people who came from afar to share their stuff with everybody else. And it just was a really great, great, great weekend.
Right. Well, people that explore will go to great lengths to
That's true.
Seek the information that they like. The big story that this week, as many of our listeners have probably been following, was the dentist from Minnesota who traveled to Zimbabwe and paid $50,000 to some local guides to hunt and kill a sea silver lion who was evidently a beloved personality, so to speak, in that country. The silver lion was also being studied by researchers at Oxford who tagged him. It's always when things like this happen to animals in particular, I'm always fascinated by the public outcry. I mean, I, like everybody else, was outraged by it. I mean, it's senseless. I mean, to pay that kind of money to take and shoot an animal for sport makes no sense to me. I know a lot of people are hunters. I personally never got it. I understand that when people need to kill animals for food so they don't starve, like we did in a lot of the ancient cultures, I get that.
And even now, we still have to have slaughterhouses, unfortunately, for those people who are not vegan or vegetarians in honor of taking care of the animals. It's done supposed to be done in a humane fashion because it's providing food. And I know that there are ancient cultures that before they would even slaughter the animal, they would give thanks for the existence of the animal, give thanks that the animal is giving their life so that they can eat, they can live.
Right.
And here, to, like you said, to senselessly go out there and just kill for the concept of killing is insane, and it's so contrary to the spiritual world and the way that we know and we've learned that it works.
Right. I mean, these are conscious beings, and I would imagine that the principles of karma come into play. And even when we talk to our guest in a few minutes, Dr. Betty, he might be able to elaborate on this and what the research shows. But, you know, we believe from the channel reports and also from people that have near-death experiences that when you have, if you have this life review, that you feel the anguish and harm that you cause upon others, you know. But so there's certainly something that has to be dealt with. But what also fascinates me is that, you know, look, in that same country, Zimbabwe, there are atrocities and there are deaths. And in that same continent, many wars of senseless killings that barely make the paper, and some of which people are not even aware of. So it's somewhat interesting in a lot of respects that death in the animal kingdom by means that we think are certainly cruel take precedence over human life. Doesn't that, you know, do you ever contemplate that? I mean,
no,
why is it that you have such a public outcry over this?
Well, I think you have the public outcry because you're seeing the public outcry come from within your own culture. You're not aware of what the complete outcry is down in Zimbabwe. You don't know. You do know that the people who were in charge of these animals, of the care of these animals, of the protection of these animals, of course, they are up at arms over this incident. But you don't hear from the general public what's going on. So apparently this was a beloved animal because it was some sort of a zoo or some sort of a place where people could go to visit the animals. And for that, I would say probably the people of that area are equally, if not more, distraught than we here in the United States.
Well, not necessarily true. I read an article today written by somebody in Zimbabwe, and they were asking, a reporter there was asking the general public, and a lot of people said, you know, sure that this was cruel and senseless, but they don't get the worldwide interest because of all the suffering that they're going through. You know, how come the United States and the world is not coming to the defense of them and their plight, you know? So, I mean, I get that. I think it also has something to do with, you know, human versus animal, you know, that somehow, you know, the animal is defenseless against weapons, you know, guns.
Which is why there are so many animal organizations that speak on behalf of the animals. But then you have the religious side of it that taught people that animals were of a lesser
right.
value than humans, which, you know, spiritual people today don't believe that. People, scientists who have been talking about consciousness, researching consciousness, they don't believe that. They're showing that this consciousness is universal to every living thing. So you can't raise one above the other. I'm also reading, and you know, in USA Today and a couple of other places where every group that had some sort of an issue of being put down or not treated well or having issues with local governments, they're all saying, well, what about us? What about you're making this lion so important, what about us? So I think it's just the culture of people that they they are all immersed in their own suffering. They want their own suffering to have the top attention or feel that their own suffering is the most important suffering. And so that's why you have this whole, you know, jockeying for the position of the where the media is taking this thing.
Right. Well, as I mentioned, we have a wonderful guest tonight, and he'll be telling us a lot about the unseen world in his book. We'll be talking about that. His latest book that gives descriptions, specific descriptions of the afterlife that have been channeled through great mediums of our time. So stay with us. We come back. We'll be talking with Dr. Betty. I'll be back in a few.
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. After-death communication is an accepted occurrence in many cultures throughout the world. But for many others, proof of this phenomenon is essential. And research shows that contact helps move people through loss and grief. The Sign Registry allows people to register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to specific loved ones. Contact the Forever Family Foundation at foreverfamilyfoundation.org or go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Thank you.
For those just tuning in, our guest tonight is Dr. Steph Rossetti. Our sponsor is Starseed Gems, and they can be found on the web at starseedgems.com. Bob?
And it's our great pleasure to welcome Dr. Stafford Betty back to the show. Stafford is a professor of religious studies at California State University, Bakersfield. He's an expert on afterlife studies. He's authored 7 books. He's published numerous articles in scholarly journals and popular press. He lectures frequently on the subject of life after death, and he regularly teaches courses on death and the afterlife at the university. He also sits on Forever Family Foundation's Academic Advisory Board. And his latest book, one that we're going to be talking about tonight, is Heaven and Hell Unveiled, Updates from the Spirit World. And welcome back to the show, Stafford.
Great to be here, Bob, with you.
And so I mentioned the title. So somebody not familiar with you or your research might look at the title of this new book, you know, Heaven and Hell Unveiled, and say, incorrectly assume that it's yet another book that's espousing religious dogma, but of course they'd be making a big mistake. So these afterlife descriptions that you have amassed over the years that have been channeled through extraordinary mediums, what do they tell us about heaven and hell? Do heaven and hell exist?
Let's put it this way. They don't exist as separate locations or separate worlds, not at all. They're just words that we can apply to relatively good experiences or relatively bad experiences in the afterworld. And there are all kinds of experiences that follow an enormous number of possibilities. So, no, that's what I wanted to do. I should have titled the book Heaven and Hell Revised. I greatly regret not doing that. I got talked out of it, and
really?
I shouldn't have been. Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been interesting as well.
Yeah, it would have been a better title.
Yeah, the concept of heaven and hell goes along with this a judging God. So,
yeah.
In the literature, do those communicating from the other side talk about any type of deity that's judging?
They talk a lot about judgment, but they never put it in the context of a deity that does the judging. The judging comes from the deep interior of a person, and if the judging is not honest, then that person is going to find himself cut off from the wider and better and more glorious world of the afterlife. There's judgment is extremely important, but it's self-judgment ministered to by spirits who are perhaps the soul's spirit guides. But no, there's nothing like a God sitting on a throne with the Lamb of the Lord sitting on the right hand. There's nothing like that that appears in any of the sources that I've read.
Right. And maybe we should backtrack a bit. In this book and in your previous book, The Afterlife Unveiled, you amassed these reports from poring over the research of channeled reports. We should let our listeners know how you came about, you know, all of the information.
Yeah, right. Oh, in the last 160 years or so in the West, there's been an enormous amount of literature written ostensibly and apparently by spirits working through legitimate, often classic mediums who are not in the business of making money, but of cooperating with psychic scientists to get the word about the world that they are trying to describe out to the public.
Right. And when we do you find a great consistency among all of these, or is everyone different? All these.
Yeah. If I didn't find consistency, I wouldn't take it seriously as a science. I would see every attempt to describe the world over there as simply nothing more than an hallucination by each of the mediums. But there is a very impressive consistency coming from all of these various mediums from Britain and France and the United States, but some from Brazil, occasionally somebody from India. But yeah, and you find consistency, and these people aren't in cahoots with each other, so they're describing a world that's really there, just as witnesses describe a traffic accident. They see it from slightly different angles, but when you compare the descriptions, you say, oh yeah, well, they're describing a real thing because they're so similar.
A lot of almost everything that you read these days that are metaphysical in nature, when they talk about the afterlife, they talk about a continuous progression, this journey of exploration and spiritual advancement. But in reading some of the reports, you know, you're not on this, it doesn't appear that you're on this, like, predetermined trajectory, that there's somewhat of free will on the other side. So maybe some people are content in the realm that they reside and don't want to advance. Is that what, am I getting that correctly?
You're getting it very correctly. We don't take leave of free will just because we die or toss off the spiritual, the physical body. And that's not the way it works at all. We continue to be the persons that we are, and we have the same abilities, if anything, even enhanced. Spirit free will is taken for granted. So you can slumber over there if you want to, but you're going to become very bored and will probably find yourself gravitating back towards Earth, possibly through reincarnation, because you won't be interested in the kind of life over there in this light-filled, diviner world. You'll want the things of Earth that you now remember and long for. So, yeah, there are all kinds of possibilities. So progress is not a requirement. It is what the best of us, and it is what we will all be encouraged to do once we're over there. But we don't have to. We can go at our own speed or at no speed whatsoever, or we can backtrack back to this world. That's the impression that I get from reading all these sources.
Yeah, and also striking in a lot of these reports from the sources is that some people, when they physically die and move into these other realms, don't even realize that they're physically dead. I mean, that things look very much the way that they looked here.
That is correct. This is universally reported in spirit literature. It's amazing that would be the case. You would think that a person would know when he or she died. And many of us, and probably most of us, do. But the reason that some don't is that the world that they enter is not that different from the world that they left. That is to say, they don't come into some cosmic vision that is the stuff of radical science fiction. It's a world that's relatively friendly and relatively similar to the world they left behind. It has features that are different, but it's not necessarily, at least at first, as different as would be required for a person to be sure that he had died. So some people, particularly if they're materialistically inclined and don't believe in an afterworld, are going to find themselves thinking, oh, this is very strange, but I must be having some strange experience. And they'll be mystified, won't even realize that they've died. It'll be explained to them eventually, and they'll eventually catch on.
What about the this concept of afterlife justice? I mean, it's something that comes up so often. You know, people wonder, you know, if the Hitlers of the world have to, you know, pay for their misdeeds. I mean, What about the concept of justice?
Wouldn't it be a terrible thing if they didn't, if all of us had the same rosy ending? That would be a world that made no sense. We all crave justice, and it's taken for granted on the other side. We crave it here, and we get it over there. The law of karma is intact, so we can expect to have an afterlife experience that grows directly out of the kind of character that we've molded ourselves into being in this life through the decisions that we've made and the habits that we've built. So the law of karma is extremely determinative of the experiences on the other side.
Yeah, I know that we talk about this life review that, you know, near-death experiences talk about, and so some people in the channel reports, and in your book, In Heaven and Hell Unveiled, you relate how Frances Banks from the spirit realm, I like what she wrote, that she had gone into life with a blueprint.
Yeah.
And eventually, when she got to placing that blueprint next to the actual life she lived, you know, she saw some enormous differences. So is that is that like a giant life review that we hear so much about?
Yeah, it sure is. The life review that we hear about from near-death experiencers who come back and tell us about it is just a kind of mini foretaste of what you're going to get over there. Frances Banks got the real thing. She was rather appalled at how much she had intended to do in her earth life. She'd worked it out. She'd designed it with her spirit guides and mentors on the other side before she took on flesh. And so she compares what she actually achieved with the blueprint that had been set forth by her working with her spirit guides. And she finds herself disappointed at how relatively little she had achieved. But she said, but it's okay because, you know, in spite of, she says that most of us, in fact, will recognize that we didn't really follow through in the same way we had intended to. We didn't have as big an impact on the world that as we had hoped to. But then Frances says, but that's okay. We've learned other things that we hadn't anticipated along the way. It's not a waste of time by any means.
Yeah,
and but it's humiliating. It is, and she used the word. It is initially humiliating to see how little we accomplished. But you and I are trying to accomplish a lot now, I think, Bob, and hopefully we won't have too much of that feeling, but who knows?
Well, listen, Frances Banks, as I recall, was a Catholic nun for many years. So I mean, she was an
Anglican nun for 25 years, and so she was a good person, there's no question about it.
Yeah.
But she had defects of character. She was a stubborn person, and that her stubbornness is recognized by the person who wrote the foreword to her wonderful book, and I think it's the best book, single book, written by a spirit working through a medium that has been published. It's the best one I've ever seen. And it's interesting to see how she is compared to the person that she is remembered as being by those who knew her best.
Yeah, and that book, Testimony of Light.
Testimony of Light. That's a wonderful book.
I know. You use it in your classes, don't you, sometimes? Or?
I do. I used it recently, as a matter of fact, in my class that looks at the literature of spirituality. Indeed, I did.
Yeah. Now, I mean, it's clear, Stafford, that you believe that organized religions can learn something from becoming familiar with the afterlife descriptions. What is it that religions can learn by studying these spirit communications?
Well, first of all, the afterlife descriptions that the religions of the world present to their flock, you know, strikes me as often quite absurd. And some fairly absurd theologies have grown out of what humans have imagined God to will and the world in which they imagine he inhabits. So, you know, I get the feeling that it's basically guesswork. They're not describing the real thing. They didn't have the research available at the time that the scriptures were written that we have presently. So they have an enormous amount to learn from us. What we have to say is so much more rational, so much more attractive than anything that I find in the afterlife scenarios of the world's religions. The world needs to change and look at this spirit literature if they want to know what really happens after death as opposed to what they have been guided to think by their various religions.
I would agree. And I mean, most of the religions were founded on the same principles, but they seem to have gotten away from, you know, the rules sort of gotten away of the underlying foundation of the faith. So
true. Yeah.
You know, I think that but people reading your books might come away with a little bit different view than what they had before.
They'll be radically challenged, as a matter of fact, and challenged in a wonderful way. Most of them will think, oh, my gosh, that makes so much more sense.
Right.
You mean I really don't have to believe that? I don't have to worry about going to hell because I have this particular view. Views mean very, very little according to the spirits. It's the kind of person that we are. It's the kind of habits we have basically formed ourselves into being. And so, yeah, I mean, beliefs. Why did beliefs ever get to be so important anyway? If they don't change a person, you know, they're not worth taking seriously in the first place.
Right. And what about the notion that people also commonly ask if those in the afterlife still take an interest in the physical world? I mean, you know, or are they busy doing other things? So what do the reports tell us? Do people sort of keep tabs or try to help those that, of us that remain in the physical?
Well, we're told that prayer will be offered for the deceased. In other words, it is wise for us to pray for our beloved deceased. It alleviates their loneliness because there can be lonely moments on the other side as the spirits miss those whom they have left behind. They're happy to be remembered. Prayer for them, as perhaps Catholics do more than Protestants, they pray for the deceased, etc. They offer masses and so forth. Those kinds of thoughts are appreciated by the deceased because it lets them know that they're being remembered and loved, and it alleviates their loneliness. Also, they're quite capable of praying in reverse, so to speak. They can help us in a variety of ways, basically telepathically by putting ideas into our mind, by putting solutions that we hadn't thought of. Little subtle hints that we're not even aware would be coming from those we have lost and are working with us and even through us from the other side. Yeah. So there's a lot of give and take between the deceased and ourselves that most of us don't appreciate, not even aware of.
Yeah, you made a great point in the book, you know, we're talking about why a lot of people in the physical don't take much of an interest in the afterlife, and you point out that a lot of people don't take the afterlife seriously because, you know, we can't see it or perceive it. You know, on the right. other hand, you know, they in the spirit realm, you know, can see us, can perceive us. They once lived here, so they're interested. Makes logical sense.
It really does. And one of the things that motivated me to write these two books is the need of us to see concretely and in full color what it is that we are going to experience when we die. If we don't have that, we tend not to really be able to take it very seriously because it's so vague. We say, oh, yeah, I believe we go on, there's an afterlife and so forth, but we don't have any idea of what it's like, and therefore it's not real to us, and it doesn't have any impact on us. Well, after you read these books here, you know, you will have a very clear and vivid notion of what is to come, all of it based on the, not on guesswork, but on the actual experiences that are told us by those who are actually over there. They're
right.
simply describing the world that they live in and that they know intimately, and they're trying to help us to see and to anticipate what will come.
And I know we're coming up on a break, but before we do, I mean, what about guides and helpers? What does the spirit world tell us? I mean, do we all have these guides that sort of telepathically or nudge us in the right direction?
Yeah, I mean, you find that universally in spirit literature. And it must be difficult for them to be so seldom recognized. Again, you know, one of the things that they're trying to do is to become less, shall we say, egoistic, more service-oriented. The afterworld is not a place where you just hang around and be happy. It's a place where you are expected to grow, and in order to grow, you have to serve. And if you serve without even being recognized or appreciated, wow, that's work. And it's work that's usually not acknowledged. It's not even known about. And that's what most of us fail to acknowledge. We are not aware of our spirit guides. But the literature of spirit literature, it's unanimous. All of them speak of spirit guides.
And we're talking with Dr. Stafford Betty. The book is called Heaven and Hell Unveiled, Updates from the World of Spirit. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to learn more about the world of spirit from Dr. Betty. And in case if you want to call in with a question for Dr. Betty, the number here is 1-888-627-6008. Stay with us. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, the AAEVP is now Association Transcommunication, or ATRANSC. Their new website is atransc.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
Does consciousness survive death? Can technology be used to interact with the deceased? Can hearing from the dead heal the living? At the Wind Bridge Institute, we are working to answer these and similar questions. Through our studies with certified research mediums, we are examining psychic abilities and communication with the other side, offering insights into the limitless nature of consciousness and unlocking the possibilities of our bodies, minds, and spirits. Be a part of it. Become a WindBridge member today. Please visit www.windbridge.org to learn more.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
If you're just tuning in, our guest tonight is Dr. Stafford Betty. Our sponsor is Starseed Gems, and they can be found on the web at starseedgems.com. Our Holidays Past 2015 raffle is up on the website, now waiting for your name to be entered. So let me quickly explain how the raffle works and why you need to enter now, even though the drawing is December 23rd. The five winners, each receiving a one-hour medium reading with Tracy Lee Nash, Doc Neil Zapowski, Nancy Marlowe, Dustin Livers, or Kathy Tell, are chosen from a computer program that selects five numbers randomly from the pool of consecutive numbers assigned to each entry. So enter, enter often, and have lots of different numbers. And a great big thank you to Joseph Shield, Janet Nohavik, Lloyd Auerbach, Tom and Melissa Gould, Marian Pierschka, and Gary Giannini, as well as to all the wonderful participants at our annual Afterlife Exploration Retreat this past weekend in Chester, Connecticut. You have all played a special part in making new memories together. Our August webinar is now posted on our website event page, and registration is open. Life After Grief will be presented by grief recovery specialist and Forever Family certified medium Doreen Malloy. And Texas, if you're listening, certified medium Lee Ashley presents Visitations and Validations, an evening of spirit communication on September 15th in Austin, Texas. And for our Kim Russo fans, Kim is taking time off from her busy filming schedule of her two shows, The Haunting Of and Psychic Intervention, on October 24th for a celestial evening of spirit communication at Long Island University, CW Post Campus, in Brookville, New York. Get your seats online on our website while you can. She will be joined by newly certified medium Joe Peretta. December is not far away, so for those of you who are waiting for our annual holidays past events, we have two so far. Joanne Gerber will be in Natick, Massachusetts, and Joe Scheel and Janet Nohavik will team up together in Pompton Lakes, New Jersey. Both events are on December 12th. And finally, please, please, please help us keep all of our programs going by visiting our website and clicking on the donation button. It's on every page. Because of the work we do not receive the grants and funding that all other traditional nonprofits enjoy. And speaking of donations, please use the Amazon.com link on our website. When you go shopping on Amazon, they'll make a donation to us. Or if you're shopping outside of Amazon.com, join iGive.com, name Forever Family Foundation as the charity of your choice, and shop all you want on the Internet because that will also generate a donation to us. And finally, if you are a business interested in advertising on our show, please contact us via email at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call the office at 631-425-7707. I'm done. Back to you, Bob.
Okay, and we're back with Dr. Stafford Betty. The book is Heaven and Hell Unveiled, Updates from the World of Spirit. Dr. Betty, you know, what's the best way for people to get a hold of you? Is it in, just to Google and use your email address at the university? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's the way they should do it.
Yeah.
I get a lot of email, but I'm not overwhelmed by it. I can handle it.
Okay.
And it's just sbetty@csub.edu. Couldn't
okay.
be simpler.
And if you, forget that, if you there aren't that many Dr. Stafford Bettys that is of religious studies that are experts in the afterlife, so you'll find them pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's really true. Absolutely. So I'd be happy to hear from any of your listeners.
Okay, you wrote something in the book that I think, believe it was from you and not from a channeled
right.
person. But you know that spirits could do more to help us in the physical if they were allowed to. Do you recall that? I mean, what's the meaning?
They could. In other words, they would like to be. In other words, they wish that that our world would take mediums more seriously, because there's so many more spirits over there who would like to communicate to us than there are mediums through whom they can communicate. And I think that's what you're referring to, Bob. Though I'm not sure.
Yeah. Well. I thought maybe that some sort of guiding. Or guiding consciousness only allows them to interfere with the physical to a certain point.
Absolutely. Now I know what you're saying. Very true. If the spirits were allowed to overpower our world, they would do the kind of work with relative ease that we do with great trouble. And one of the reasons that we are on a physical plane like this, in which we're challenged in the way we all know so well, is to overcome challenges, is to grow in the effort that we have to make in order to learn to live with each other in peace. And so spirits are simply not allowed to do the work for us that that we are required to do, because we need to grow through that, through the troubles that we confront in our world.
Yeah. Well, speaking about that growth, I mean, are we able to obtain more growth in the physical world than we are in the astral planes?
They all say so, and the conditions on the other side are relatively benign. You don't confront things like hunger and violence and war. You know, all of the physical things, like death and suffering and serious illness and all of that, it's missing over there in that world. They have other ways of suffering, but they don't have the very basic, rather gross forms of suffering that we do, because we live in gross bodies. They live in spirit bodies or astral bodies. It's easier to navigate. There's less of the physical sort of pain over there, much less than there is here. They have psychical pain. They have plenty of, in other words, the possibility of emotional pain is very intense over there, but not the physical pain. So there are reasons that that they are kept from solving our problems beyond a certain point.
Right, and yet they'll often seem to team together to impart some knowledge to a certain people, like, you know, it might be an inventor or a peacemaker or somebody that can affect world change. I mean, they do take an interest in that way, do they not?
They do, and they have the power to transmit their thoughts and their ideas and their genius to other geniuses down here on Earth. But there's no guarantee that telepathic hookup is going to work, is going to yield what they would like to see it yield. There's no guarantee. They're not omniscient, and they are certainly not omnipotent. They're limited in what they can achieve, and basically they're not limited because of their limitations, but because of our limitations. We simply don't have a way of accessing all of the wonderful help that they might want to give, just because of the nature of our bodies, the nature of our brains. Our brains are far less effective than their astral brains. Their IQs are relatively high. We would think of them as being like 300 or 400 compared to our measly old whatever they are. So it's just a different kind of world from ours, and each of these worlds has its place.
Yeah, I often wondered about that, you know, if there's frustration on the other side. I mean, here they are trying to get through and trying to help and trying to impart messages and knowledge, and if they're saying, you know, that dunce, you know, I mean, what do I have to do, you know,
right,
to get through?
Yes. No, that's a good point.
Yeah.
There, the world of spirit, and we're talking about relatively low levels of spirit world. They're extremely divine realms that go way beyond what we are making contact with through our mediums. But they do experience frustration. I remember one saying that there comes a point when a spirit guide or a spirit guardian will simply desert his or her earth person, because that person simply is not getting it, is stubborn, doesn't want to change, doesn't want to take any of the advice that's constantly being communicated telepathically, and are basically left unprotected. And that's a very dangerous position for any earth person to be in. But if there is a stubborn a decision over and over again to ignore the advice, then, you know, there's only so much frustration that the spirits can take.
Yeah, and that's the value of people reading your books and understanding what's going on, because the if you can open up somebody's mind just to the possibility that this exists, they may recognize more of this information when it happens.
Yeah, that's very true. True. There's just all kinds of wonderful things that can happen if one simply recognizes the reality of the world of spirit. One of them being that the dread of dying and becoming nothing will be exterminated. The big nasty lie propagated by physicalists will give way as we all examine the evidence for an afterlife, and that evidence is extremely strong. So the dread of dying is not something we have to live with, and I don't think it's anything we're supposed to be living with, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. Do you think that, I know that a lot of the people in spirit talk about the vibrations and frequency, and, yeah, and the theory is that, you know, those in these other spheres vibrate at a higher level, and they can sort of tone down a bit to lower their frequency to communicate in the physical. Is that pretty much the, what you've read? And
it is. It is. It's interesting. That word vibration turns up over and over again, and it's a word that's fairly nebulous. We're not exactly sure what it means to vibrate at their level, because we don't vibrate at that level. But it's a word that they're familiar with and that they're comfortable with using. And, yeah, they have to vibrate more slowly in order to descend to the level of the medium and make communication through her, because she's not vibrating at their level without a great deal of trouble, and they have to work at vibrating at her level. So it's a mediumship is no easy thing.
Yeah. Another thing that readers might find very interesting in your book is one of the descriptions of ceremonies that there are on the other side. You know, there's actually a ceremony. Now, we might think of it in our physical terms as a funeral. They're looking at it as a passing, but not of dying, but, you know, graduating to a higher sphere. You know, so that's an interesting concept.
It really is an interesting concept. Several of the very richest spirit communicators have described in detail some of the ceremonies that they frequent. And they're exhilarating. You know, we think of ceremonies as usually we don't really enjoy going to a funeral. We really don't enjoy very much worshiping God in our churches and so forth. But they really have extraordinary experiences involving all kinds of sound and color. And the descriptions begin to, as they try to describe what it's like over there, these tremendous ceremonies involving huge numbers of spirits, you can see the language beginning to break down. The language simply doesn't, the English language simply isn't up to the task. So I get the sense that there is a great deal of ceremony over there. There's also a lot of play, there's humor, all of the wonderful things that we have about our own lives is to be found over there as well. A great deal of joy, but almost every other human experience as well, usually intensified to a degree that we're unfamiliar with.
Well, I wish we had more time, because there's so much to discuss, and you're certainly a wealth of information. But we have been talking with Dr. Stafford Betty. The book is highly recommended, Heaven and Hell Unveiled, Updates from the World of Spirit. There is a link to the an Amazon link to the book on the Forever Family Foundation website. And Stafford, thanks so much for joining us, and I hope we can get together more often.
I hope so, Bob. It's been a pleasure, as always, and the best to you and Fran.
Thank you.
We now ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Pat Drano, Barry Whitehouse, Andrea Richard, Brian, Karen, Henry Stark, Johnny Jackson, Andy O'Brien, Tanya Cash, Stanley Mullen, Glenna Irwin, Lynn Austin, Michael Tim, Patty Potter, Eileen Lafata, Wendy Lippo, Doug Berry, Philip McPhee, Erica, Betty Kovach, Denise, Matt Mello, Tim Donahue, Tom Donahue, Eddie Roll, Tracy Lee Nash, G. Lash, Vicky Steffi, Rita Springer, David Haban, Hutchinson, Julie Beischel, Marian Pierzka, Jeanette Davias, Rachel Scandarian, Kimberly Saavedra, David Mello, Donna Mello, Judy Pernick, and Donald Peterson. And now, let us as one consciousness give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away,
and science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.